You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Stay tuned for the 10th voice. The views and opinions of this program are those of its hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
This is The 10th Voice, Kansas City's gay and lesbian radio magazine. The 10th Voice, because you refuse to be silent.
And hello, it is the first Saturday of the first month of a new year. Hi, it's The 10th Voice, and I'm your host, Philip Bluehl-Hooser, and I have some wonderful guests who are brave individuals wanting to take a look at this coming year. But first, of course, there has been news that has happened, because the news never stops. After accusations of homophobia late last year, the children's magazine Highlights will include an illustration of a same-sex couple in an issue for the first time. The image, which will appear in the February issue of the magazine, shows two men loading a station wagon for a family trip in an item that invites readers to send letters about family trips. A 57-year-old convicted killer serving a life sentence in California became the first U.S. inmate to receive state-funded sex reassignment surgery, the prisoner's attorney confirmed Friday. After discussing how the Thought Police were trying to declare Kim Burrell an illegitimate human being after a sermon appeared of her denouncing gay people as perverted, American Family Association President Tim Wildman criticized Carrie Underwood's appearance at a Christian conference because of the country star's support for LGBT rights. A new school and support group for trans people in Kerala, India, is run by nuns. Pink News reports that the Sisters of the Congregation of Mother Carmel offered their buildings to form a welcoming place for trans people who felt ostracized by their classmates and or teachers. The school, it is said, will cater to those trans people who had dropped out from schools in their early age due to various reasons. The city of Orlando, Florida, announced 49 rainbow-covered seats in its new Major League Soccer stadium to honor the victims of the Pulse shooting last year. The seats are in Section 12 of the stadium because the shooting of the LGBTQ nightclub occurred on June 12, 2016. There were 49 victims, inspiring the 49 seats. The city is not counting the shooter as a victim. Each seat features a rainbow heart and the hashtag Orlando United. And now we will begin to look into the new year. 2016, as you may recall, was an election year, which caused politicians to try to score points by introducing anti-LGBT legislation, more in a single year than we saw in any year of the last decade, more than 160 individual bills last year. Probably the best-known example was North Carolina's HB2, largely known as a bathroom bill targeting trans people. It was actually the state moving to block local ordinances that greatly expanded protections for the queer community. And in much the same way that people have felt emboldened by the election to commit individual acts of hatred, legislators across the country are already introducing more bills that could swipe at larger sections of the population. These have already been filed in Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, and, oh, look, Missouri. Many of these are so-called religious freedom or religious exemption bills that allow businesses and service providers to use their religious beliefs as a justification for refusing service to a member of the LGBT community, including on the national level. Add to this mix an incoming president who at one time said that federal law should protect people from discrimination based on sexual orientation, and then took aggressively anti-equality positions as a formal candidate. He also supported HB2 and said that he would sign the so-called First Amendment Defense Act, or FADA, which would lead to more Kim Davis-style discrimination. He has declined to support the Equality Act. He stated that he opposed marriage equality because he was a traditional guy, choosing to support domestic partnership benefits instead, but later reversed himself and said he also opposed civil unions. He disagreed with the Supreme Court ruling in Obergefell, but he did not support a constitutional amendment that would allow states to reban marriage equality. He later said that he would appoint Supreme Court justices who would be committed to overturning the ruling, and then he said it was settled law, much like Roe versus Wade, which he also said he would appoint justices to overturn, and his short list of Supreme Court nominees, like his vice president and cabinet, have all expressed anti-LGBT positions. When he pledged to protect LGBTQ citizens from foreign ideologies and said that he would be the best president for the LGBTQ community, he also pledged to cancel every unconstitutional executive action, memorandum, and order issued by President Obama, and in doing so, he would nullify crucial protections for LGBT workers. This is the world I have asked three very active and knowledgeable people to examine, to comment on, and to discuss their own hopes, fears, and propositions for actions that we can take. First, to my right, Michael Popa was the chair for Equality Kansas and is a current member of Roland Park's City Council. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Phil.
And then we also have John Du Bois, who is a lawyer, a former member of PFLAG Springfield Board, and can currently be found at Legal Aid of Western Missouri. Hello, John.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. And, of course, the great pleasure, the man sitting across from me, Dr. Bob Miner, Professor Emeritus, and very emeritus.
Say that seven times.
At the University of Kansas, where he taught for 33 years. He must have started when he was two. And he is also an author.
Stop it.
Multiple books. He is a champion of social equality causes and the founder of the Facebook group Religious Liberty Laws, The New Bigotry. Hello, Bob.
It's good to be here, Phil.
Okay, kids. How's the world going for you? What do you think? Who wants to go first?
I'd have to say I've been turtling. I think we were talking about this earlier. I've actually been putting my head under the sand, under the covers in bed. I try not to turn on news. I'm just now slowly coming out of that. It's been a pretty devastating couple months for a lot of us.
So how's that been working for you? That's in Native American, we talk about that as bear medicine. Bear goes into the cave to digest everything that's happened and tries to emerge eventually. So how's that, your turtling?
It's actually proving to be quite good medicine for me. Okay. I think in the next year, this year, we need to do like two things, in my very humble opinion. And we need to not back down. We need to not go away. We need to not disappear. The inclination is really hard to just say we're defeated and take on that attitude. But it's time to get going now. It's time to get up. Get going. A lot of different groups are doing that, and I plan on being part of those groups. And we need to focus on state, local municipalities, and our communities, and protecting the people in our communities, and being really vocal, being in the streets, being at the state house, using our voices and using our votes in the next election.
Because that's really one of the things I think that matters most is we all and each have to be personally engaged and involved. And that's one of the things a lot of people just don't want to take that time, don't want to exert that effort, because it's easier to be on Facebook and Instagram it.
Right. It really is. And we need to, I'm not trying to hog this whole time here, but we need to stand up for people. Like I said, LGBT youth are going to be hit really hard once Trump takes office. I think we're going to see a lot more entitlement of discrimination against the youth, and we need to be able to stand up for the kids.
Well, and someone who, of course, stands up for people is our lovely, almost a new homeowner, John Du Bois.
Glad to be here today. I am happy to say that 2 weeks from today, I will be at the Women's March on Washington.
Yay!
So planning for that and talking to my friends about that and reading in preparation for that has been, pulling me out of the funk, definitely.
And, Bob, you're always funky.
Well, not intentional. Most of the time, unintentional.
You've got the funky music, funk boy.
I have a real agreement with Michael, because I... I've turned off television news. That's the first thing I've done. And the reason is I don't learn anything new. I never watch Fox. I know there are people who think they should because they want to hear what the right wing is saying. But they've been saying the same thing for 20 years. So I don't do that. But I've done that, and that's been very helpful for me because there's this constant drumbeat of this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. So I've sort of made an assumption that we're going to go through hell. And I've just sort of made this assumption that things are really, really going to be bad. We have the most homophobic, as you pointed out, that we have a who's who of homophobia around Trump. There couldn't be a more homophobic group. There's no excuse for that. I don't care what HRC or the Law Cabinet Republicans say. There's no excuse for that. So I didn't mean Hillary Rodham Clinton when I said HRC, right. By the way. And so I'm assuming that. So if anything better happens, I will be a pleasant surprise. But I need to assume that in order to go on. I cannot have this drumbeat. So I am very much in agreement with that. The next thing is, this is the time to find out what it means to be a movement, which is more than just a political party. Political parties are political parties. Their goal is to get elected. Our goal is to move the marker forward down the field, or whatever the appropriate metaphor is. And so we need to think in terms of movement, and it has to be, because one of the things that's going to happen, we're going to see, it's not going to only be as bad as we expect, maybe not, but I'm going on the negative side here, and I'm not a pessimist, by the way, but I'm not an optimist, I just choose hope. So it's we're going to see it bad. It's also going to mean that we cannot trust what is being said in public. This is really important. We've learned from Trump that what he says means nothing. And so people will glom onto something he says that isn't as offensive to women, gay people, people of color, and so on. And we say, oh, something's happening. None of that means anything. We're dealing with a very, very sick narcissist, sociopath, psychopath who's here to make money. He's bought the country like he would a business, and he's going to flip it, and that's his approach. So we need to be thinking in terms. And so what that's going to mean? Let me go back. What I was going to say. What that means is so much is going to come out to at us at once that it's going to be overwhelming. We're going to have just one thing after another, overwhelming, overwhelming, overwhelming. And if you listen to this media, it's going to keep pounding at us like that. So that we need to be very clear in our minds that we are not going to be reactive. We are going to be sometimes on the defense, but we're not going to be reactive. And that means we have got to sort out in our minds what we are, and we have to realize, I'm going to stop with this point, but you know I'm a professor, so I keep talking. But we have to realize also that this is a multi-pronged battle with a bunch of allies. It's not just an LGBT battle. It is an LGBT battle. It is. We have allies in every who are going to be hurt by this in every community, not just LGBT, and therefore we have to be there for them if we expect them to be there for us. We have to create those relationships. We can't do outreach when we need people. We've got to be there all the time. So it is a major, major resistance movement that we've got going here.
Because equality means everyone.
Yes.
Even people who may have opposed things that we've done, I think we've still got to be fighting for them.
What's that? But that said, if LGBT people get rights, then everybody's going to want them.
Yeah, exactly. And so they should. So they will.
And things can be reversed. I need to say this. Progress has never been linear. And so just because we've made some progress does not mean it's going to be backward. That's actually a very white way of looking at progress. Mm-hmm. People of color know that it's very much zigzag. It's always been zigzag in America. So we could lose some things in the process here. So we just need to be aware of that.
And I think one of the points with that is we also need to be aware there will always be backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out there, and we need to keep calling it out and fighting against it and educating everyone that we can.
So all three of you are saying don't give up, and I just want to chime in and say, even if we do say it a million times in the next 45 minutes, don't give up. Don't give up when there's a loss, as Bob was just speaking about, the zigzag losses, it doesn't mean, you know, lay down, we got 4 years to roll over and just, you know, give up and decide to hit it all again at the midterm election in 2 years or hit it all again in the presidential election in 4 years. There are lots of things we can do. Some of them may just be preventing bad bills. You know, basically that's all promo the statewide equality organization in Missouri is saying that we can look forward to in the legislative session that has begun in Missouri. Preventing bad bills is not nothing. It's very important.
And for people like Michael who have been turtling, I have always been out there saying, don't worry, we can't take it all the time. We sometimes need a break. I'll be out there still fighting for you, just as I hope. If I need to rest, then you'll be there for me.
That's right.
Definitely.
And so...
thank you.
Well, it's our job.
Yeah.
It's our duty to, yes, to fellow human beings. So, Dr. Bob.
It's time also, I think, to pull out that movie Pride. Do you remember that movie Pride?
Oh, yes.
About the miners' strike and coalition building and how that is. It's entertaining and so on. But if you have not seen the movie Pride, rent it, download it, do something, and just sit there and watch. It'll be entertaining. It's good. But it's something about a very dark time in British history that LGBT people unified with other people, and the payoff was wonderful. It's worth doing. The movie Pride.
From 2014. I'll also link to that as a reminder in our event page on Facebook for this. Around the same time, the same events as the action of Billy Elliot, which is also, I think, a very inspiring story, mm-hmm, and has a wonderful LGBTQ, or as Donald Trump says, LGBTQ storyline in it as well. So... I was just looking that up so that I could link that on the page. So, Dr. Bob, nationally, these so-called religious freedom laws that are emerging in this First Amendment Defense Act, what can you tell us about that? How are you viewing those?
Well, this is a strategy
First of all, people, he's narrowing his eyes.
It's a strategy that goes back for a while. It isn't just a Trump strategy. It's a right-wing strategy that comes out of the right-wing think tanks on the East Coast. I could name them, but that's good enough, that have said this is how to do it. It's something that's put in front of legislators who want something to make a case about, and then they just copy it, and even with the typos and everything, and put it in their bill. So we've got 8 states that have already introduced it, of which Missouri is one, that it's been introduced, not necessarily into a committee yet, but it's introduced. And the strategy here is that you can't just come out anymore and discriminate against a group of people. That's already been sort of settled by the Supreme Court, though that can be changed. But what you can do is come out for religious freedom, which will discriminate, allow people to discriminate against a group of people, but you're not. So their hope is that these cases will ultimately go through the court system up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will do a Clarence Thomas type of approach and say, yes, religious freedom needs to be protected, and this is it. So this is a very good strategy, and therefore we should be doing this along. First of all, call it. That's why that page on Facebook is called Religious Liberty Laws, the New Bigotry. I started that as soon as this started because I wanted to rename it, because I did not want it to be named religious law. I wanted it to be renamed the New Bigotry Laws. And we need, again, to be reframing this right now as it goes along, and probably never repeat again. It's called a religious freedom law. We need to call it the New Religious Bigotry Laws. The most effective response to these is the response that has worked in some cases, where we get liberal and progressive clergy of all religions to say, this takes away my religious freedom. And this started with the Congregational Church, the UCC, back on the coast. But this is the most response. So what we need here is we need our allies in the religious community, in all the religious communities, you don't hear Muslims supporting this and stuff like that, in spite of what all the stereotypes people want to make. You hear a certain group of people supporting this. We need them to be standing up and saying, this is an affront. This is against my religious freedom, because I should have the freedom to do these things. I should have the. So we need to reframe that issue.
And when the Supreme Court eventually is going to have to face it, I've not understood how you can say that one person's right under the First Amendment is stronger than another person's right under the First Amendment. Because I think if money and clothing are a form of speech, then I think one's sexuality is also a form of speech. And so freedom of speech and freedom of religion are both under the First Amendment. How can we say that one is a more powerful thing than the other?
There's an appeal here to the libertarian strand in things. Because if you talk to the younger generations, the student generations, Michelangelo Cinerelli and some of his work has actually interviewed on them. And what you find is they don't have a problem with a business discriminating against anyone. They personally are not going to discriminate. They are not LGBT, but they believe that businesses have the right. This is that libertarian stuff. Mm-hmm. The businesses have the right to discriminate against it, because it's just like saying no shoes, no shirt, no service at the entrance. So the right wing is thinking of this as something that actually will appeal to those college age and younger students and 20 students who would not object to, who would not discriminate, who would not want to discriminate, not want to, but they are much more interested in these freedom issues, particularly when you tie it to smoking, smoky smokes and stuff like that too. So this is another thing they've worked out. They've been really hammering this as an issue. And again, that's why we need a bunch of allies outside the LGBTQ community to do this.
If only we had a lawyer to turn to. Oh, John.
Actually, I want to piggyback on the last thing Bob said, is that allies outside of the community have actually made a huge difference in marriage equality. I think there's little doubt that the change in public opinion led to the Obergefell decision. We don't like to admit that openly, that the Supreme Court goes with public opinion, but the change in the rapid change in American public opinion on marriage equality did make a big impact on statewide campaigns like in Maryland, mm-hmm. and I think on the Supreme Court. So again, just we have allies. We need to use them and don't just do outreach when you need help, as Bob said.
That's important. A friend of mine, Eric Siegel, who teaches at Georgia State in law, has a book out called Why the Supreme Court is Not a Court and the Justices Are Not Judges. And he argues this very thing, that the court itself, and he's a Supreme Court scholar, that the court itself is a political institution. We always have to remember it. So what we are doing in the streets, in this type of thing, is probably more important than any sort of legal argument that would be given in there that someone is going to question anyway from their ideology, from the ideology of the court. So that's...
Is the full title of that Supreme Myths?
Yes.
Okay.
Read the full title to me. Supreme Myths. Do you have it? Eric Siegel.
Supreme Myths, Why the Supreme Court is Not a Court... And Amazon's loading, and its justices are not judges.
Yes. Excellent book. And he argues that it's probably good for the court to stay 8 people, and that it's actually a better court with 8, so that we cannot have that 5-4 decision thing that is what we'll get, so that really when they do take up a case, it has to be important, and they're going to start taking up cases where there is much more of a majority opinion rather than these sort of ideological cases. That's just part of his argument, too. So there's all sorts of things possible here.
And so we did have North Carolina HB2, which was aimed at saying no local ordinances, you can't have local control, which is what they think states should have from the federal government, but cities shouldn't have from states, apparently, which was taking the HB2 basically said, no, our state cannot have these local ordinances that support expanded freedoms And there seem to be a lot of bills that are coming across nationally like that. Michael, are you aware of anything going on in Kansas related to that or bathroom bills or any such?
Yeah. I'm not aware of anything specific, but I know that we will see the same type of bills. We're going to see those so-called religious freedom bills or the religious bigotry bills that we talked about earlier. We're going to see those boilerplate template bills that are in Kentucky that are in these different states being pushed right now that resemble FATA very closely. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see a lot more of the quote-unquote bathroom bills. And I think we're going to be on the defense again in Kansas. Now, we changed the makeup a little bit with this last election of our House and our Senate. So there's a lot more moderate representation. There's a lot more saner voices. And of course, Equality Kansas, ACLU in Kansas, they're going to be on the defense. They're going to be fighting as they always have.
And Jonda, you have your finger in the air. I was just going to turn to you. Yes.
I just want to point out that legislatures and those who are putting up constitutional amendments are having to get crafty in Arkansas, North Carolina, and Kansas and Missouri, for that matter, because in 1996, the U.S. Supreme Court took up Romer versus Evans, which was an attempt in Colorado to amend the state's constitution to say that localities could not pass pro-LGBT ordinances, mm-hmm. basically. It was a way to squash their liberal cities who wanted to have non-discrimination clauses into their ordinances. It's been decided. It's been decided for 20 years now that you can't do that. But of course, drafters get crafty, and they put things in like they did in Arkansas, which doesn't say you cannot have any LGBT non-discrimination clauses. It says you can't have any more broad rights or any more categories in your local ordinance. Categories of people must match state law and federal law. So they're having to get very crafty. I don't think those will succeed ultimately, but unfortunately they get passed and they become law, and then they go to court, and it takes a while to dismantle them. I believe in the justice system in general and believe that they do get dismantled or overturned, as this one did by the Colorado Supreme mm-hmm. Court and the U.S. Supreme Court 20 years ago. But it takes a while. So fear not, if something bad comes through, there's always the courts.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Lawrence in Kansas, Lawrence and Roland Park are the only two cities that still have local non-discrimination ordinances that do add extra classes, you know. LGBT and veterans is a case in Roland Park, or military status. So I would hope that if something like that does pass, we also have home rule, which I'm not sure how that plays into this. I'm not an attorney, so I'm not sure how that plays into it in Kansas. Home rule meaning that we can have laws that differ from the state as long as they don't conflict with state. I would hope that my city and Lawrence would challenge that in court. I hope that we would fight for the rights of everyone.
Well, and thinking of things that have already been to the Supreme Court and have already become settled law, the Newman versus Piggy Park Enterprises. It was a 1968 U.S. Supreme Court case in which there was a man who owned a barbecue establishment, but he said that African American people could get to-go food, but they couldn't eat there. And it was because of his religious beliefs. This is what he said that was based on. Well, they've already ruled on that and said, no, you have to serve everyone. I know you may not be terribly familiar with this, but I keep thinking, why isn't that a precedent that we can use for people who supposedly have these firmly held religious beliefs about whom they can serve and whom they can't?
I feel like, you know, that's related to what I was trying to indicate, which is that it doesn't keep people from passing it. You know, it doesn't keep it from happening at the level of the legislature or the city council or what have you, or the business owner making that decision. It has to make its way through the system. And I think that overall, not always, but overall, the system takes care of it. It just, unfortunately, hurts our youth in the meantime. Mm-hmm. It hurts the people involved. I'm very concerned, and Michael spoke to this earlier in his opening statement, about young people and how, you know, we've been around a while. Some of us have been beat up a little bit by these processes, and we understand that you have to go with the zigzag that Bob described. And young folks, don't know, you know, to hang on. I think that it gets better project is, you know, right. good start on reminding people that youth is hard, but it will get better.
Well, a lot of,
and
I'm sorry.
I truly am, because I think we're all going to be sorry at this news. It is now 1:30 and we have to say goodbye to Bob.
I apologize. I'll be listening in the car.
Any last words of hope or encouragement?
There are, 182 federal judgeships that are vacant? And so if we have a Congress and president who tries to fill those, we're going to have an interesting battle. A recent decision in Texas, I've lost this decision, that went against us, it would have to be appealed by the Justice Department. So we're going to be relying on a Justice Department that probably won't do that kind of thing. So it just means there's a lot of work to do, and we need to be aware of a lot of the things that are going on. But I'm not hopeless. I just think we're in a long-term battle, and this is sort of like the movie where there's the knight is fighting the dragon. And he thinks he's killed the dragon, and he turns around, and then all of a sudden we all see this one last sweep of the dragon's dangerous tail, which may be the worst thing that we think is going to get him. And I think it's a sign of cultural change, but it's that we're in that midst of that last sweep of the dragon's tail that's going to that's really very dangerous, and but it is that. So I think in the long run we're in good shape. But we really have to work. We cannot sit by and think it's all happened or nothing's going to happen, or we can't be in hopelessness either, because that's just a feeling. Hopelessness is a feeling. Hope is a choice we can make every day. And what's a better choice to make for our own lives, to live in hopelessness or live in hope? And that's how we have to think it. The fight, going on with the fight, is for each one of us to do, because that makes us better people and puts us in a better position.
And we all want to be as good a person as Dr. Bob.
No, do better than that.
So we will take a brief break here. Linda has some things for us. While those of us in the studio weep and rend our garments at the loss of Dr. Bob for the rest of the show. Linda?
American Friends Service Committee and Southern Christian Leadership Conference of Greater Kansas City present Martin Luther King's Beloved Community, Concrete Action for Economic and Social Justice. A panel of inspiring community leaders will speak on Martin Luther King Day from 3:30 to 5 p.m. at Friendship Baptist Church, 3530 Chelsea. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM KKFI.
If you have a car, boat, or truck you no longer need, you can donate it to KKFI, which helps your favorite radio station and gets you a tax deduction. Call Bill at 816-994-7869.
And here we are, missing our Thor, our knight in shining armor, Dr. Bob, who unfortunately had to skitter on his way, but he's always a valuable resource for as long as anyone can have him be a part of the discussion, I believe. So now we are three, and mostly it's going to be on you, though.
No problem.
So, of course, one of the issues that's also facing us, and when I say equality means equality, it's everyone, is we have people of color and immigrants and just people. It's difficult for me to separate them out and think, but oh yes, women and the trans and our queer youth and our seniors, citizens, and everything. There's a lot of intersections where those things meet, and with all people, and those are also great concern for us, I think, because we have to be vigilant about looking out for others as well.
Use your privilege. White people, use your privilege. Older people, use your privilege. Middle class people, use your privilege. And by that, I mean stand up, as Philip is saying. Join organizations to help educate yourselves and other white people or other middle class people about people who aren't. And showing up for racial justice is a good one here in Kansas City. Certainly youth. We think we're all very concerned about that. Work on youth issues. Help trans folks get their driver's licenses changed to the right name, gender marker. That's something I'll be doing. Support the trans folks in your community because it's going to be brutal. It has been and it always has been and always will be. But I think that they're popular whipping boys of the ride, and that's just heartbreaking for young and old trans folks.
Yeah, and there has not been any shortage of opportunity to help people, and going forward, there's going to be even more opportunities because even more minorities or different classes are going to be discriminated against. And a lot more obvious ways than we're used to. A lot more obvious ways than the youth today is used to. Because, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of youth has come of age. There are kids coming out, youth coming out at 16 in high school in safe places. Never happened before. It's going to be different. It's going to be screeching on the brakes for a minute, but that's why we're all saying get out there, stay out there, be active, and don't give up.
And that's one of the things with the what is it, 1,000 hate crimes that have been committed since the election in the name of, you know, that man, whom I tend to call Agent Orange or Hey Mr. Tangerine Man.
Sing his name then.
Hey Mr. Tangerine Man. But they are emboldened, and they are wanting to use that as a way. What kinds of things do you think we can do to say, to educate, to say, no, we are people too. We are not, you know, we are not the liberal group or the gays. We are not this impenetrable monolithic wall that is a group.
I think we take to the streets every time somebody is harmed in a racist incident or a homophobic incident. I absolutely believe in demonstrations. I believe in holding police accountable for keeping communities safe and not over-policing. And I believe that we definitely need to show support in the one-to-one as well. You know, make sure that we check in with our friends and see what's going on and see if they need some additional support. Volunteering is a great way to get involved and meet other people who care about progress and network with folks who can help you find ways to level up your activism.
And I think one of the hopeful things is, too, that the Supreme Court agreed to take up the trans rights issues case.
The Gavin Grimm case.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if that's good or bad that they took it.
Well, I was gonna ask that. What do you think?
I'm scared.
Because a bad ruling or not so great ruling could mean that we have some really not so great laws in effect for a
while.
That's
why I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say that that's what I think is going to happen, but I just don't know that we're going to get a good ruling out of the Gavin Grimm case. It's a good case. It's certainly, you know, just a very articulate young man. Not that the plaintiff always matters at the Supreme Court, but a young man who was allowed to use the correct bathroom for a few months without incident and then told that he couldn't anymore. And that one's really important and it has not been scheduled for oral argument last time I heard. And it will be interesting to see what happens come January 20th.
Well, and that's we were also talking about people of color. I think one of the things that particularly people with more privilege in the LGBTQ community often don't take into as much account is that people of color are used to having, here's a right for you, and now we're taking it away, and here it is again, and now we're taking it away again, or now we're limiting it in some way. And those are things we need to stay vigilant about, too.
Let's talk about one that's safe. Marriage is safe. I'm one person, but I'm not the only person who's saying this. You know, marriage is safe. Supreme Court ruling in Obergefell a year and a half ago is not going anywhere anytime soon and likely never going away. It would take a new Supreme Court ruling. They don't grant, you know, cert on the cases. They don't agree to hear the cases so quickly after having made a decision. You know, that takes another decade or two to hear another case on the same issue, usually. I am terrified of, as Bob said, Trump appointments to federal bench are terrifying, but it's not, I don't want people to think that their marriage is going to be in jeopardy in a month. It's not. It's the law of the land, and the right wing has had to admit that as well.
I've been concerned about my friend Scott because he has those kind of thing, issues that he's really concerned about, because there is a possible path to it happening. And I told him, I don't really think it's anything to dread, Scott. Speaking of Supreme Court decisions, yes!
Out of Missouri, no.
I need a drummer in here. There we go.
Get some bongos, Phil.
So, I'm Michael.
No, I forgot all I was going to say. So ask me questions, please.
How are things going with Roland Park? How do things seem in the city for you?
Things are going well. We just passed the mayor had a proclamation and the council passed it, and it was that we are a safe city. Basically, we are going to continue to try to be a welcoming city for all races, genders, sexual orientation, veteran status. And I was really proud of that. Of course, I was one of the supporters of that. It was written by a resident. And one of the residents felt so strongly about this. Straight, white, male resident.
Yay! Allies,
yes.
Allies.
Yes. As we were saying earlier, it's going to take allies, it's going to take white privilege, it's going to take every tool in the arsenal. And I was really proud to support it. I think we're heading in a very good direction in Roland Park. Proud to be on that council.
Good. And Jonda, you're involved, of course, with Missouri issues because you're here representing that state side of the state line.
Yes. Proud member of ACLU of Missouri, supporter of Promo of Missouri, of course. Locally, don't forget about Like Me Lighthouse. I think every LGBT person should join the ACLU, Promo, or Equality Kansas, and their local gay community center, LGBT community center, immediately with their holiday money. Spend their money on those organizations. And also, if you don't have the money, spend your time on those organizations. Volunteer, write letters, learn about them. That takes time. I'm actually overwhelmed by information because I have this wonderful little echo chamber of social media friends who send me wonderful articles, and I don't have time to read them all. But if you don't have the money, spend the time learning about what's going on and who's out there fighting for you, like Equality Kansas and Promo.
Well, and people don't think about that. They usually think to give to an organization, I need to write a check. Where, yes, that's very important. You know, organizations, advocacy organizations need money. They have budgets to be able to go forward and do good things. But they need people. They need time. So time is very precious, and it's very welcome now, especially. Get out there. You know, rallies.
Be part of a phone bank.
Part of the phone bank. You go talk to your legislator. Call them, even.
Show up for city council meetings.
And right, it doesn't have to be the state level. You're right. Go to your city council meeting. Get involved in your local community. Start small. Don't bite off more than you can chew right away. Learn what's going on in your local community. Who shares the same values that you share? How can you – they were doing it. The conservatives, the uber conservatives have been doing it for like 10 years now. They started local community, and they're working their way up into the positions of power. So we need to do the same thing, but we need to do it better now.
And one of the tools that they had for people in preparing them was be willing to stay to outlast anybody else. Stick it out and stay with the meeting. And eventually you'll be recognized as a person who is there, who can stand up and be put into a position of power and get more power and get more people involved.
Great. Did either of you see Rachel Maddow's segment this week on Indivisible and on, related to what you were saying, the Tea Party's tactics in the few months following the landslide victory, I'm going to call it, of President Obama in 8 years ago, 2008? Anyway, long story short, everybody listening who's interested in learning some very, very simple tactics for resisting the Trump agenda should check out Indivisible. This is a practical guide to resisting the Trump agenda put together by former congressional staffers. And it's 25 pages, has, you know, nice little sidebars, very readable. It's not for wonky people like me. It's for anybody who's interested in figuring out how to do something local, as Michael was speaking about. It also touches on what the rise of the Tea Party in 2008, 2009, and how that playbook can be used now to resist the Trump agenda. So I recommend that.
And in fact, Tonda has printed out her copy and has it here with us.
And I wouldn't mind, you know, just pointing you all to the fact that it talks about going to your representative's office, going to the meeting, how to do it, how to start a group. How to form a group was an important part to me, because decide to start a local group, and you might just call it, "We are constituents of Congresswoman Sarah, dedicating to stopping the Trump agenda. Please, you know, sign up by giving me your email address." Well, I've seen that happen. Since the election, my social media feed has absolutely blossomed with other groups, lawyers of the left, Pantsuit Nation, we're still here. These things have come to me through friends, you know, through my echo chamber that I mentioned a moment ago, and some of them have spread like wildfire. The Lawyers of the Left had 186,000 people sign up for the Facebook page within 2 weeks of the election, and now they're planning a conference in conjunction with the Women's March on Washington, changing their name to Lawyers for Good Government, which doesn't sound as cool as Lawyers of the Left to me, but okay. Recognizing we have a special responsibility to look out for civil liberties, a special responsibility to take care of people because of our privilege.
And it sounds like the groups you mentioned are doing this, but we have to also be very cognizant to take the groups off of Facebook. So outside of Facebook, into the streets, like we were mentioning before. You know, John just said there's so many groups that are popping up, and I've seen some. The little I've been on social media, I've also been turtling from that. But the little I've seen, you know, there's some groups that have already fallen to the wayside because it's just a lot of talk on social media. But others, like I'm sure Lawyers for the Left, Pantsuit Nation, has really taken off. And now it's, Progressive Social Network.
You can't say Pantsuit Nation.
Right. It's not Pantsuit Nation, but it's Progressive Social Network has been popping up in different cities. So it's even going small. It's going grassroots. And that's what's going to get us through this next 4 years, hopefully just four, are these grassroots efforts, getting out there, be vocal.
Show up to the demonstrations, even if you've never done it before. I'm going to the Women's March on Washington with a friend. We're both in our late 40s, and she's never been to a demonstration. She's going to start with a big one. She asked me if it was too late to start. Of course it's never too late to start. I've been to several in Kansas City in the last 12 months, and some of them are fairly lightly attended, and body count does matter. So if you have the privilege to show up and possibly get into a little bit of trouble, right, you know, then show up. Put your body on the line, or at least just stand there and hold a sign.
And if you're still hurting, per se, if you're still kind of in despair, you need some more medicine. My first demonstration, my first rally that I remember was actually in 2008. You mentioned that. I was living in L.A. at the time, and Obama won, but so did Prop 8. And it was pretty devastating. That next night, I was at the first rally that I found. And there's, I don't know, there's just a sense of camaraderie. You're grieving together. You're hoping together. You're starting to affect some change. So you'll meet a lot of really great people that are fighting for the same thing that you're fighting for. And I think that's going to be really important coming up the next few months, especially, that camaraderie.
We'll be side by side.
Yeah.
One of my first impressions of being a Kansas City resident, I moved here in February, and shortly after that, Trump came and spoke at the Midland Theater, which is a few blocks from where I live. Some badass friends of mine came up from Springfield to Kansas City to go to the demonstration and hang out with me. And what was beautiful about it, because there was a lot that was very ugly about that demonstration, his supporters were very vocal, of course, and rude and hateful, were the signs about, "We love immigrants, we love everybody, you know, this candidate, this racism is not our country, this isn't the country I live in, Kansas loves everybody, Missouri loves everybody," and rainbow signs, and lots of reach out to immigrants, because even at that time, there was clearly an anti-immigrant tone to his campaign. So I got a very, really cool impression of the activists in Kansas City within weeks after moving here because of their messages of love, specifically around race and immigration.
That's what I find encouraging. You know, it was the first time that I understood the whole "I want my country back" idea was, I thought our country was moving in this direction. I want that direction back. I still want to be an open country that accepts people. And there, I know not everyone is always going to be accepting. There's always going to be some level of prejudice among people. It's just how people work. What are you looking forward to in 2017, Janda?
Women's March on Washington, leveling up my own activity in the LGBT community and in anti-racism, definitely. Women's music festivals, feeding my soul with fun. I go to movies and shows as well as demonstrations. Looking forward to getting to know Kansas City and Kansas Cityans more.
And possibly a house.
Oh, that could be within a month. Yeah. showing my commitment to Kansas City, buying a house.
And Mr. Michael?
I think pretty much along the same lines. You know, like I said earlier, I'm starting to kind of come out of that fog. I want to get active. Again, I want to reconnect with people that I've lost some connection with. Feed my soul, definitely, and help others feed their soul. Get back out there. Support the arts, support my friends, support myself, and just kind of start living life again and being vocal. I'm going to continue to be vocal.
That's good. So what else do you think is important that we may not have covered yet in looking at the road ahead?
I guess I'll go back to don't roll over. Don't accept inevitability. Don't accept... Oh, there's nothing we can do about the fact that Putin and Russia intervened in our election. Come on, would your grandma have let that go? We cannot let that go. There's a lot to be done, and your voice matters. If it's just that you write constantly to your members of your state legislature and the U.S. Congress, don't accept the Trump agenda of whatever it is, it's inevitable, just, you know, roll over. It's not true. That's kind of what I was speaking about earlier, the Tea Party in the months after Obama's historic election, which he had much more of a mandate than Trump. As we all know, more than 2.5 million votes gap between President-elect Trump and Hillary Rodham Clinton. She has the popular vote. He does not have a mandate. He doesn't have, even though he's got both houses of Congress, he doesn't have a mandate there either. Something can be done.
I thought people were saying he has a mandate with Putin.
Well, yes, there's that. Rex Tillerson is in Putin's mm-hmm. back pocket. We, you know, the proposed attorney general needs to be fought tooth and nail. Absolutely. You know, there's a lot to be done, and you do have a voice.
Don't want to have any sessions with him.
And no sessions with Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions doesn't like the gay people either, by the way.
Does he like anyone?
He might like Putin. I don't know.
Yeah. That's possible.
He has a 0% rating from Planned Parenthood, and he's going to be our next attorney general, likely. He also criticizes judicial nominees because they worked for the ACLU, because the ACLU is on his hit list. He opposed the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act. He voted for an amendment that would have removed LGBT people from the Violence Against Women Act. So, wake up, folks. Jeff Sessions is going to be... Actually, I think he's the first nominee that's going to go into hearings next week.
Yeah, the 10th?
Yeah, hearings start on Tuesday for Trump's appointments. This is a new thing. This is kind of, I was like, why are we doing that before the inauguration? Since 2004, so it's very recent. We haven't had too many cycles of this. When there's a new president, we start early so that he doesn't have to have, on January 21st, like none of his security people in place.
Well, he has a very busy agenda just for that first day alone, considering all the things he said he will do.
Let me just say that I don't think gay people and trans people are at the top of Governor Greitens in Missouri's agenda or President-elect Trump's agenda. This is an LGBT affairs program. We're talking about our fears, and they're well-founded, and hopefully they'll activate us. But I don't think that LGBT issues are necessarily the top of agenda for some of these people. They're very scary people because I care about poor people, mm-hmm. and I care about immigrants. I don't know that we're right in the sights of the, you know, of these. They have a lot on their agenda, and I don't know that we're at the top.
Right. Now, to that point, as you said, you know, we're probably not right on the top. Now, maybe in Kansas, a little different story with some of the legislators. But, you know, some of the I don't even know if they're unintended on the other side, but the unintended consequences of repealing the Affordable Care Act, you know, with the LGBT community, HIV at the top of the list, people will not have treatment. They won't have coverage. They can't get treatment. Treatment as prevention is what's being educated out in the streets right now. So what happens if you're HIV positive? You don't have medication. Your viral load goes up. You're not undetectable. Well, you can infect people. So we could see this could be, you know, a health crisis per se, and not just HIV, but other communicable diseases.
And of course, we're members of all those communities I cited as well: immigrants,
right,
poor people,
exactly,
people of color. You know, that the intersectionality means that repeal of Obamacare would hurt poor LGBTQ mm-hmm. folks.
Yeah.
Actions and by the way, the executive branch, the president, does have a lot of control over immigration. Actions against immigrants hurts asylum seekers who are LGBTQ.
I see someone gearing up. I think we're about to hear from the great and powerful Oz. Yeah. Oh, she was just pulling her microphone close. I thought, we're about to hear wisdom. But apparently, Linda has no wisdom for us.
She does. She's just not willing to share, I guess.
Well, I was going to say women are really suffering under Trump. And no one's really talked about that. But like when you say the poor people that are LGBT, well, that's mostly the L and the T.
And the current efforts to defund Planned Parenthood, which are basically saying, okay, poor women, we don't want to have you have any health care.
Yeah, they don't fund the abortion, so they're funding breast cancer detection, their STD.
Birth control,
health, simple health.
There were those videos that showed that Planned Parenthood obviously doesn't have any kind of, you know, good feeling about fetal tissue, which were, of course, all proven to be false and falsified.
Well, and I think Bob brought it up earlier, someone brought it up earlier, either Phil or Bob, or maybe we all did at one point, you can't trust the words coming out of President-elect Trump's mouth. So, but unfortunately, what you can trust is actions. Look at his vice presidential pick. Look at his cabinet.
Look at his list of Supreme Court.
Look at his list of Supreme Court. They would all have devastating effects on the groups of people that we've talked about here today, on the LGBT community as well. BTQ?
Yeah, but don't you think it's really strange that Trump, who's a New Yorker and most of New York is liberal, mm-hmm. how he became so right when you would think he would be liberal? Because, I mean, 10 years ago, I don't think he would be talking about. But I mean, they were his friends. You know, yeah. LGBT were his friends. And
over the last
he was
20.
A misogynist.
But yeah, right. He's always been that, and I don't think that's ever going to change.
Well, over the last 20 years, he's switched parties at least 5 times.
Well, he said that the Republicans are more gullible, and he can.
No, that's a false quote. That's not be promoting fake news.
That's fake?
Yeah, it actually is.
Oh, well, darn. But I believe it anyway.
Nope. It.
Well, Bob said earlier he's looking at this country like a business. He's going to dismantle it and resell it. And that's exactly what he's doing. So whoever's going to help him get there, I think, is who he's aligned with. And they were going to help him get here.
But I think Trump's going to be really frustrated because he's used to being the head of a big corporation and people jumping when he says jump and asking how high on their way up. They're not going to be jumping for him.
And that's one of my
they're not going to be jumping for him.
Is that they'll get rid of him and that we will have President Pence.
Yes, he's scary.
So, John Doe, can people follow you on Twitter if they want
I've
to know
never
more about
tweeted.
You? Can they follow you on Instagram?
Nope, I'm not on Instagram.
See, you'll just have to get to know John Doe.
How old are you?
It's a wonderful thing to do. Michael?
You can follow me on Twitter, but I do not tweet a lot, at Michael J. Popa. And I'm on Facebook. Find me there. I'm not on Instagram.
On Facebook.
Yes. I think
if you want to contribute to my echo chamber, friend me on Facebook.
And yes. Michael has both a city council page and a personal page.
Yes.
So depending on how personal you want to get, there's that.
Friendly one.
Thank you so much for listening to the 10th Voice. Next week, of course, will be the San Germán Alphabet Soup Book Club of the Air. You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you so much.
We are the only minority group that you can join overnight. from Overnight Productions.
In the twinkling of an eye, in fact.